Christopher McCarthy is the director of Batch McCarthy, an engineering and landscape design consultancy that specializes in sustainable master planning and building engineering. And Christopher has over 30 years' experience in the industry. He's engaged in sustainable city farming and leads key research and development for incorporating vegetation within environmental facades, as well as looking at how we deal with air, water, power building engineering infrastructure and building systems.
Thanks very much. Right. The subject I'm going to be talking about is living materials. And everything I'm going to talk about you can do at home, or you can do it in a yard, or you can do it in your office. So you don't have to wait for some laboratory out there to solve your problem. Now, the only thing about the living materials is there's a lot of confusion and misinformation. So if I talked about plants cleaning air, and I'm doing a research on leaves, as far as I'm concerned, only leaves clean air. And I'm doing one on roots, only roots clean air. So you get this all this misinformation. The other thing is, there's certain trees that don't do much, and there's a lot of other trees that do a huge amount, and somebody wants to read, you know, so you read about the one that doesn't do anything. So it's, with a group of people in the debate, is trying to demystify the issue and bring it down to the basic principles and driving it forward. And the issue of using vegetation and cleaning air isn't, of course, we should stop producing emissions, yes. But that's going to take decades. But people are dying today, so they're doing something pretty quickly. And vegetation can do that. But again, this apparatus is to improve the air. That's where the engineer comes in. What they want to do is get a tree to be 50 trees. But after it's cleaned the air, what else do you do with it? Well, you start eating it, you know. So the technology is there to clean the air first, and once the air is clean, because it will graduate from, you know, Croydon first, but Oxford Street last. So as it graduates in, then people start to eat in the city, which has all that other benefits. So it is important to go back. Everything we're talking about is already being done, and has already presented that. There we are, there was no atmosphere, and then vegetation, it took 2 billion years to get to a point to generate the atmosphere we've got now. And over the last ones, the beginning of bacteria started to grow, and then plants, and what was happening is as they were producing more and more oxygen, things could get faster, so the slow moving animal in low oxygen, but as you get more oxygen, you get faster, you could run faster, and that changes. And then we came along, chopping down the trees, and we only in 200 years out of 2 billion, we just took out most of it. And of course we excavate and minerals that have been locked into the crust, and we make them into dust, which then we choke. So it's all understandable, and it's not by surprise where the pollution problems are. And I'm not going to go through the whole issues of air pollution, but there are limits, and these limits that have been set that we must reduce our air pollution to doesn't mean everything's fine. If you don't exceed these limits, like 40 micrograms per meter cube, doesn't mean that you're okay. No, it means that your chances of dying prematurely due to cancer are reduced by 50%. There's still other problems. But to look at the scale of it, so this is the big one, the big subject is the particle matter, which are very small particles, like dust, very small dust, and there's a hair on your head, and there's a hair on your head, and that's a 2.5. And the reason they're concerned is they go into your lungs, into your bloodstream, into your brain, and you get Alzheimer's, and dementia, and all these other problems. But the nitrogen dioxide is the other one. So if we went into the Royal Albert Hall, and we said, well, how much pollution can I have? Well, it's the weight of PM2.5 is the weight of a $1 note. That's it. And then that you put that amount of PM2.5 in there, now you're hitting the 40. And the nitrogen dioxide is, okay, it's $4 notes. Now, look at nitrogen. It's very, 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 very small. I mean, you've got, on a hair, you've got 500, 600 of them. So you're looking at something so, you know, light to dark side is very tiddly, and it's if you concentrate it, it's brown, and it's that similarly affects human beings by breathing it. Now, if we looked at materials, the most advanced materials of taking out air pollution are those researchers going into masks for cyclists. It's amazing. I mean, so if you want, so I'm not going to give you, I'm not going to give you a lecture on this, but if you want to know about these, they've just got on the internet for later. The only weakness in it is here, because it leaks, and therefore, even all the work that's been done, it's actually not as effective as you could, because it's a physical impossibility, unless you stitched it on your face. But the other thing is there's some brilliant ideas like nitrogen dioxide, titanium dioxide, which you spray on the road, and that's all, when we had the Olympics, it's happening all around our sniffers. And what happens is the nitrogen dioxide, through the titanium dioxide and ultraviolet light, then produces NO3. And NO3 is actually plant food. So they were spraying this, but they've discovered some other things that float around in the air when you do this reaction, actually very toxic. So DEFRA now banned it. You don't want to do this anymore. So we go back to something we feel comfortable about. It's yes, of course we should reduce the emissions, and the main GLA strategy is about green infrastructure, which is green infrastructure is everything, a road, a roof, a wall, and more of it. We're very lucky because we've already got loads. If we've got 40% of London is green, where Paris is 10% and Dubai is a couple of feet, you know, in Paris. So we're going to be the first city with better air than any other city in the world. The question is, there it is, and all we're trying to do is accelerate it by adding more. If we had obviously more green, and it's no point having green in the green belt because you're breathing the pollution in Oxford Street. You want it right next the pollution and you. Because at the moment, the only air filters we've got in London are human beings. We're doing a great job, much more than anybody else. And so you've got this addition, but you get to a point that becomes safe, then that vegetation starts, instead of growing ivy that cleans air, it's now growing tomatoes that you can eat. The other thing I'll put it forward, is there is another bit of green, there is trees, but this is as important or more important is lichens and algae and moss. And you see, you know, in the adverts, get out there and start spraying your paving slabs, your walls, and get rid of this green muck. But actually, it is more productive than a big oak tree, your roof. And we need to, we should protect trees for obvious reasons, but we should protect algae and people's roofs with moss on them. The other thing is you can tell the different air pollution you've got by the difference, algae takes about 5 years, you know, to grow. It needs water, so it's a very intelligent thing, and it will start to grow and say, well, I'm not happy here because the air pollution's this, and so you get different ones. So this is the smoother the algae, I'm not going to get into a whole on lichens, the smoother the one means the air's the worst. When you actually get very fluffy ones, the air is much better. So people use this to tell what the air pollution is. But now it's mostly aimed at, in a link to sulfur dioxide, with SO2 that then becomes sulfur dioxide. But that's enough of this one. But the work upstairs, which we follow through, is critically important. We need to protect every bit of ugly, revolting green stuff on paving slabs and on roofs and all that awful moss. Let's get rid of it. You know, you see it in the Sunday papers. Now I'm going to move on to something more understandable is the tree. Now it's just not about the tree, it's about everything. It's the groups of trees, the tree, the surface of the leaves, the absorption of the leaves, the microbes on the roots, and the roots themselves. It's a whole combination, it's a machine. And there's the big particulate matter, which is the dust, you know, off your tabletop, and then you get the smaller PM10s, the 2.5s, and then you get nitrogen dioxide, which we're going to be focusing on. And they all are taken out by the tree, by the groups of trees. Obviously, you know, the wind has to pass through, and as you go around a corner, things rain, you know, because particles drop out of the sky because the air velocity drops. And then obviously we get the other end of the nitrogen dioxide, which is absorbed you know, the shape of the tree wouldn't make any difference, but just flying through. I mean, you know, so it does affect it. I don't know if I should take you through this diagram, because I'm short, but I could, if people do think I should take you through why. Okay, well, I'll do it very quickly, but what is important that you've got to, what I'm trying to do is understand, it's like a game of chess. You know, it's not one piece, it's a number of pieces that makes the game interesting. So if we just did the particulate matter, all we're saying is as the air flows through, it flips around and therefore it rains, so the large particles. Then it, the structure of the tree, the types of tree, the groups, where the leaves form, also affect the precipitation. The stickiness of the leaf, obviously very sticky leaves collect more. And then, but it won't absorb it, it won't eat it. And the roots never seize them and never goes into the ground. But along, and then that's the same for the next particle, whereby the leaves appear. But when we get to 2.5s, it is so thin in the air that it's not going to be affected by the, you know, wind can go that way, but the particles can go that way. You know, it has its own way of traveling. But what it is that it will stick onto the leaves, and it will sit there until it rains. And then when it rains, it lands on the pavement and goes back in the air again. So it's really important, and I'm sort of the PM 2.5 is they don't. It lands on a grill, you know, it lands on something where the water can go into the ground and take the particles into the ground and lock it in, and that is really important. And also, if it doesn't rain, like it hasn't rained for a while, it gets covered, the leaves, and then it can't take any more 2.5, so you have to get a hose pipe to start washing these trees if you want them back into action. The nitrogen dioxide, of course, it keeps flying through, the leaves make, the shape of the leaves make no difference, but there is the absorption of the leaf. And here's something unknown, and it absorbs it, but we don't know what happens to it afterwards. I mean, I thought, well, so sure you do. No, you don't actually. And sometimes it eats too much and vomits it out when the lights go down, so it gives it back into the street, and so people will get confused about this because it's giving off nitrogen dioxide. And people say, no, it isn't giving off nitrogen dioxide. In fact, what it's giving off VOCs, and the VOCs react with the nitrogen dioxide and reduce the nitrogen dioxide, so you get all this stuff. Anyway. As a whole subject, but it dies a death in winter if the leaves fall off the trees, you got around, so, but where the air pollution is the worst, is the winter, so a tree without leaves, we might as well forget the benefits of the leaves. And then, obviously, the nitrogen dioxide, and moving on to the microbes, we'll get into more detail on this, and so on. This is really important. So don't go off and plant a tree and then go put paving slabs over it, because the air can't get down into the soil, it can't absorb anything. So of course the French, you see, typically you have grills around the base of the trees, and it's getting more common. So now we'll just look at the summation of the tree. The PM2.5, it's really important above ground. I mean, I'm not saying that these don't take out nitrogen, but this is the primary engine room. That simple. Then the nitrogen dioxide has to go through the ground and out again, and there are water-soluble gases which also go to the ground because you've got water, and they'll be absorbed. And it's really important, this air, and this happens naturally because this thing is sucking things out, you know, the sun hits it, it sucks nutrients up, and as it sucks, it draws air in. But if it's a paving slab or concrete, or it's no use to anybody. The other thing is that we must protect our existing trees. I mean, they're going to chop down in Euston temporary taxi ramps out for the HS2 outside Euston. They're going to take down those amazing plane trees on the filthiest road, and it's crazy. But you can't replace it because this little one here, you know, this is 70 times more productive. So I'm going to grow 70 of those to one of those. And okay, maybe knobbly and ugly, and yes, but it's working. Because the roots underground are working hard. The problems with these trees is it's very difficult to grow new roots because the ground's so compact, so the tree can't grow, and if you don't get the roots, you don't get the production. So the production of those planes on the filthiest road in London, and you can fight it because illegally speaking, they're not allowed to increase the air pollution on the filthy road of Euston, and by chopping this tree down, they will increase. The other thing is the types of trees, and there's a beautiful tree, but there's a very productive tree, and then the ferns are not so productive as others. So there is a huge difference, and don't worry, there's only got two trees there, you've got loads of them, and you go on the internet, I'll tell you which one, sorry, I've done something terrible there. Right, and the other thing is, there is this thing of absorbing nitrogen dioxide during the day, and there is this issue of giving off gases at night, and that's, yes, it's part of the process. But we've got street lighting and other things like that, so it's not absolutely dark versus bright. Now I'm going to remind you of all those awful days during your GCSEs, maybe got a Debbie or something, or niece is doing her GCSEs, but this is the nitrogen cycle. And it is really important because it is nature taking nitrogen out of the air, bringing it into the ground and processing it, and then it becomes a food. But if I short-circuit it, the key thing is that nitrogen, the plant doesn't eat nitrogen. It doesn't eat nitrogen. It's got to eat nitrates, which is NO, nitrogen trioxide. So it's got to have that now, and that's food. So, but to have that, first of all, what happens is the nitrogen comes along here and it can get converted through microbes on the roof straight into food, into the plant. The next thing that happens is it's called nitrogen fixation through bacteria in the soil that converts the nitrogen to ammonia, that smelly stuff in your lab days, and that then is through nitrification forms nitrogen dioxide. And once you make nitrogen dioxide, it then can make nitrifying bacteria, will make it to nitrates, and munch, it eats it. So, what we are talking about, our nitrogen dioxide, is here, which is a short circuit, we have to go through all this process. So it's food. Thanks very much, Mr. Taxi Driver, because I can eat all this this pollution, and I'm very happy. And more of it, please. So, the formulas I've summarised here is saying it's not only one sort of process. The nitrogen is by lightning bolt, bang, makes ammonia, and then that form. Then there's the process that makes the NO2 and then the NO3. The nitrogen fixation to the bacteria in the soil makes the NO2 that forms the food, and there is obviously the other aspect is nitrogen is dissolved and can make these are on the leaves, but the other acts that the nitrogen can be made directly into the NO3 through the microbes. But then I convert it back to the car, so we're not hurting the tree, we're not doing something nature doesn't want to. Actually, it forms the process where we get the NO2, nitrifying then makes the NO3 in the plant food. Nitrogen dioxide will dissolve in water, forms nitric acid, and then nitric acid breaks down and makes the NO3. And then there is obviously the NO2 being absorbed directly by the leaves. Now, what weird, how come the engineers, they go, oh, this is not good enough, come on, let's pump this stuff full of air. So we come along and we just pump air through the soil. Now, I changed to a Victorian sewer work, that's what we used to do, to stop the smell. You know, it's nothing particularly new. But we're now developing fans to pump the air through the soil, and it's not as simple. You've got to look at the soil, you've got to make sure it's not compacted, and how much energy you're using. But yes, we can actually, what was one tree now can process 50 trees, 60 trees, hundreds of trees, you know. And so we're now pumping air through the roots of the trees. And so where did you, so I said, well, you're going to go off and plant a tree tomorrow and wait for it to grow. So what you've got to do, this is on the street, you get a fan, you go down a B&Q, get two window boxes, fill the bottom one with water, drill some holes in it, get a supply of air, from a fish tank, air supply, bubble the air in, it will go up through the roots and so on, and that will start cleaning the air where the person is, you know, that's where you want it. The other one is you can, basically, you've got a waterfall, of got a little pump here, the water goes up and it comes down through the grey medium where the plants are, and you supply air in here and you blast it out through the roots. And this one's a fog. This is a spray. So you've just got mist, generated mist here. The plant, all the roots love the white mist, and you pump the air in and it processes it. These sort of things, get down a B&Q, have a few beers and get mates around and meet them. But it will clean the air substantially more than the tree. And you can't wait for the tree to come. You need it tomorrow morning. That's a vertical, obviously, planted. This could, you can scale this up to any size. But similarly, this one is you're pumping air, and you basically bubble the air up through the water, and then it goes through. You've basically got clay balls in here, and then the tree grows, the plant grows from that, but it can be a tree, just make it bigger. And then this other one's a trickly one, where you pump air through here, but you trickle water down here, so it's having a constant shower. And then the last one is this aeroponics, where you spray the water underneath the roots hanging in an inverted shower. And again, you just simply blow the air through. And then now we're moving on to very advanced work in working with algae and algae lamps that absorb, in a particular case, the CO2, but also algae will absorb everything, you know, it just munches everything. You've got 200,000 algae to choose from. There's always got to be one that might have pollution in that particular street. And then from that, you just put electrodes in and you can make electricity and boom, you've got a little light for nothing. Great, thank you very much.